I've got in house Monique Ellsworth Van Pelt. She is the CEO for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. She'll be with us. And you're going to hear some excerpts from a broadcast we did live from Gain Street Pies, Jeremy Matlow and company, as we talked about then the challenges of hunger in our community. You stay with me. You don't want to miss it.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
Again, my friend, we are in touch with you, and that is because you have made it possible for us to continue this broadcast now for over 9 years. We're in our 10th season, 10 years and counting, Carl. Remarkable, isn't it? I can remember when we were just little kids, it feels like, when we started. Here we are. And thanks to you, my friend, for making it a part of your day. You know, we broadcast Saturday mornings on Moose Magnificat, 9 o'clock, bright and early. Simulcast with our friends at 93.3 FM, Real Talk, Tallahassee over there with John Jopling and his fine crew. And then again, our rebroadcast on Sunday afternoons at 3 on Moose, Wednesday afternoons at 5:30 on Moose. Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world. A streaming radio station bringing you all local musicians playing their original songs all the time, 24/7. That is Moose Magnificat. Find them online at moosemagnificat.com. Pleased to say that the radio station has done a lot of good for this community, including some live broadcasts that we've been able to bring, including this show, and our good friend Danny Petrosian with his broadcast, Danny on Everything. That's a great, great show. And then every Saturday night, we have the Live from the BBC. So if you're into blues, man, and you dig the whole Bradfordville Blues Club scene, and it's been tough, like all venues of that kind, bars and restaurants and clubs and such, man alive, they're just coming back. But in the meantime, we've been broadcasting some what they called their house party shows, where they have a band that's playing, no in-house audience, the club being closed at the time. They've begun now coming out from under the shadow of this pandemic, and they've been doing some outdoor shows, what they call BBC Under the Oaks, I guess. Still the pleasure of Moose Magnificat to bring that live broadcast to you Saturday nights at 9 o'clock. So there you go. From 9 to 10, you can tune in to Moose and find out what's going on with good folks at Bradfordville Blues Club, Gary, Anton, and Kim. Good folks that they are. And if you talk to local musicians, man, they... they rank up there in their love and appreciation for those two folks. Let's see, what else have I got for you? Well, the Tallahassee Food Challenge is really our focal point on this occasion. when, as it is our custom in the spring of the year, beginning in April and continuing all the way through till the end of June, we make it our business to inform and educate and encourage you to keep you mindful of the challenge we face in addressing hunger in our community. And that community is more than a few zip codes, by the way. In fact, if you talk to Monique, who will be with us in the second hour today, she's going to point to their 11 counties of coverage that they serve. And you could easily extend that by another 4 or 5, maybe 16 counties, maybe 20. And a lot of that has to do with the nature of our economy. That is to say, outside of Leon County, you know, this is an agrarian community. You know, there are a lot of growers out there. North Florida has, for its history, been an agricultural hub, whether it's been hogs or tomatoes or peanuts or cotton. I mean, there's still a lot of that, the majority of that land that is worked by the people who for generations have done just that same thing. Well, you know, the story gets even more compelling, and the tragedy is even more dramatic when you find out that on the heels of Hurricane Michael, through much of the central panhandle there, certainly in places like Mariana and Liberty County and some of those counties to the west of us that are still in struggling. They're still struggling to recover, still in a state of dismay. You know, houses that have not yet been fully restored or farms that have not and will not recover. Some of them are just gone. Just gone. You talk to the people who grow pecans, a pecan tree, takes 25 years for it to mature. You know, and if your orchard has been uprooted or destroyed in some fashion, yeah, you're out of business. So then what do? You still got kids to feed, and you still got bills to pay. Monique's going to talk with you about that. You're going to learn more about really what's going on, even now. In addition to being educational and informative, this Tallahassee Food Challenge and our website by the same name, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com, is there to direct us, give us further instruction as to how we can contribute. And so there are links that take you directly to local food charities, principally Second Harvest. And it's a remarkable phenomenon, really. The fact that when you give a dollar to Second Harvest, well, Monique and her folks can take that and turn that into $4 because they have relationships with large-scale food providers, right? Just in 2020 alone, Second Harvest delivered over 15 million pounds of nutritious food. That's enough for about 13 million charitable meals that were given to the people of North Florida, Leon County included, at no charge. That's what your work is doing. That's what your contribution is doing. You're going to hear some rather remarkable, heroic stories about those people who said, in spite of and in the face of a novel virus that could kill me, I'm not giving up. I'm pressing on. If I have to die trying to help hungry people get fed, so be it. And those are some of the real stories that have come up out of this last year. It's a remarkable demonstration of who we are as a community. I think you'll enjoy sticking around for that second hour. In fact, if you are listening online, you have us there at Moose Magnificat. That's a great thing to do. You can also subscribe to the podcast for Tallahassee Talks at any time. or you can go back and listen to the archive if you go to TallahasseeTalks.com. Look for the archive page. You can even search on those topics or those people that you'd like to be able to listen to. Maybe you missed an episode or two, or maybe you would like to hear something again that you've heard the first time. It's all there for you, TallahasseeTalks.com. Remember, too, that if you are interested in emailing us, it's a very simple thing. Topics@TallahasseeTalks.com will get you in touch with us, and you can request a topic or suggest a guest that you'd like us to consider. We'd love to hear from you. Topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. You'll find us on Facebook and on Instagram and LinkedIn, all those good places. Check us out, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
The 21st Annual Chain of Parks Art Festival is coming up Saturday and Sunday, April 17 and 18, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fine art from over 100 national artists. Keeping the health and safety of the community a top priority, this year's festival will be a free limited ticket event that will follow safety protocols. The Chain of Parks Art Festival, April 17 and 18, located downtown along Park Avenue. Presented by Mad Dog Construction, City of Tallahassee, Leon County Visit Tallahassee, and CRA. Secure your ticket now and learn more at chainofparks.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. In this remaining portion of the hour, I want to bring you conversations from our live show back in 2018, hosted by Gain Street Pies, Jeremy Matlow and company. I think you'll enjoy it, so let's take a listen.
So our mantra is, take the challenge, fill a bowl, feed the hungry. That's the Tallahassee Food Challenge. Jeremy Matlow, you've been a part of this now in the last several months with us, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to the show. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, pretty good. Good morning.
And thank you, by the way, for hosting this live show. We have the opportunity to be here at Gain Street Pies, courtesy of Jeremy and all the good people who make Gain Street Pies. Pretty good pizza, actually, from all reports. I haven't actually tried it myself. No, I'm teasing. It has at its core this fantastic tomato sauce. So we'll go into that a little bit later. The San Marzano, is that what it's called?
Yeah, we get them imported from Italy.
Yeah, see? There you go. Jeremy Matlow has been talking with me over the last number of months about his concern for the fact that in his own life personally, he's been touched by, has experienced, has lived through homelessness and poverty. Tell us a little bit about that, Jeremy.
Yeah, you know, I grew up, I was raised by a single mother of four who just did the best she can, but there were just many days I can remember and nights just going to bed hungry, not having enough to eat, just getting by on what we could. So I really can relate to the problem, and it just seems to be a growing problem since when I was a kid.
I remember you talking about this recently when for you hearing her pull up into the pulling up to the house meant that you were going to get to eat again. It was like a dinner bell.
Right, yeah. So the first of the month, if you don't know, that's when food stamps come out. And, you know, that last week leading up to that can be really tough on families. So I remember on those days, like, not even wanting to get out of bed and, you know, just hungry. And hearing my mom's car come around the corner in mid-afternoon, just knowing it was that day and food was coming. And it was like the sound of a dinner bell, yes.
It's striking to me that we live at a time in this community when so many people are doing so well. And yet we have these sections of our community that remain pushed away from that table. Alan, you've looked at this now for some time, and I think you're in tune with some of the facts and figures about the problem of hunger. What do you know about food deserts and food insecurity?
Well, especially here in Tallahassee, we have a big distinction between the availability of food on the north side of town and the south side of town. And those of you familiar with Leon County are painfully aware of the differences between the sides of town. The south side of town does not have access to fresh food like the north side does. We've made some great strides in the recent years, bringing the farmers market to the Frenchtown area and the recently opened farmers market behind the Bond Community Center. But especially going into the summer months where children won't have the school-provided meals that they're used to during the school year, hunger is going to be a particular challenge coming up for us in our community.
Right. And, you know, that was brought to our attention years ago in relation to this campaign. The Tallahassee Food Challenge is scheduled for this time of year precisely because of your point. Kids are out of school. School-based food assistance programs aren't available. A kid who normally would have breakfast at school or have food to take with him on Friday afternoon to have over the weekend, that goes away. So then the food charities that supply that need themselves are under greater demand. And we get thinking about vacations and we're going out of town and it's not the holidays. And so donations tend to wane a bit. And in that capacity, we find ourselves saying, well, you know, hunger never takes a holiday. And it doesn't care about your politics or your party affiliation. It doesn't ask permission. You know, it just is. I was at this Family First conference earlier in the week. We'll talk about that later in the show. But one of the realities is that if a child is hungry, and developmentally, that impacts that child's ability to grow, the brain's ability to grow, and then to go on and function in school, you're setting yourself up for failure. If that kid's hungry, he is not going to perform well. He's not going to develop properly. And you're exacerbating this long-term problem. You're furthering this entrenchment. And people ask me all the time, well, you know, why don't they just, you know, get a job? A lot of them do have jobs. And there you get into this business of Alice, where they're asset limited, income constrained, and employed. Meaning, I'm making money here. I'm just not making enough money. And I can't give up the supplemental support that I get through some program. Maybe it is food stamps. Maybe it's childcare. But at the same time, I can't afford to take a bigger job that might pay me more because I'm going to end up sacrificing that supplemental support because there are thresholds, right? So I go beyond what is acceptable, and now I'm making more money, but I've lost over here on the supplemental side. I've lost my child care, and I can't replace that.
That's absolutely right. There's a problem transitioning from assisted living support from your community and government to being able to do things on your own. There's nothing in the middle to help you through that transition. And so a lot of people have trouble making that move and being able to get off the support because you can't lose it for yourself and for your kids while you're trying to make that effort. And it's just really hard to try and find a middle ground where we can support people to help themselves but not cut them off completely.
It's called the Tallahassee Food Challenge, my friend, and that's what we're all about here this morning. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I've got Jeremy Matlau, Alan Madsen, Brett Wellman, Chris Boulding, and the very famous Drew Tillman. All of that coming your way over the next couple of hours. And yes, Drew, I know you're going to pay me later for that endorsement. Folks, we're going to continue right after we take this quick break. We've got a couple of things to do with some of our sponsors. Let me say that in relation to how this whole thing happens, the Tallahassee Food Challenge itself is supported through private businesses. These are people who put their advertising dollars together, and they come back to us and say, how can we help you get that message out? So then those monies are used to buy advertising throughout the community, television, radio, and all of that sort of thing. So we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WhiddonGlass.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're listening to a special edition of Tallahassee Talks as we bring you conversations from 2018 talking about Tallahassee Food Challenge hosted by Gain Street Pies on Gain Street.
We're going to have to invest in the parts of our community that don't have access to those fresh foods. As I mentioned earlier, we're doing a job of bringing farmers markets and local produce and fresh produce to the community. But without an educational program to also tell people how to eat this, how to cook it, you look at an avocado, what am I going to do with this thing? It's covered in a thick skin. It's kind of slimy. It's got a giant hard nut in the middle of it. Most people don't know how to cook with things they're not familiar with. So as going hand in hand with actually bringing food to the community, you also have to bring some education about the food to the community. And that's something else that we're not addressing very adequately.
See, those are the kinds of variables that we overlook. We bring a truckload of food, but we haven't thought through the whole process. What is it like for the recipient of that food to deal with an avocado, you know, or a coconut or whatever? Sure. Or if they don't have a can opener and we just brought them a case of canned food? Yeah, it's that sort of anomaly, I suppose, that we have to think through all the way down the line. It occurs to me that here a couple of years back, they used some CRA money, you know, community redevelopment, right? And that money was used to entice or help support or supplement the Piggly Wiggly grocery store folks. And the problem was that in the South Side communities, they didn't have a grocery store. Yep. Am I right on this? Am I getting this right? So that CRA money was used to say to Piggly Wiggly, look, guys, if you'll come in, occupy this space, we'll use this money to help you with the build-out so you can set up and provide food to the South Side community, South Tallahassee. And how did I get that right? I mean,
that was really close. When we start talking about the CRA as an entity, the purpose is for redevelopment in blighted areas, but we've never really targeted poverty specifically with it. So we've seen huge investments on Gain Street and Cascades Park and downtown. But when we start talking about these neighborhoods where there's serious issues and serious hunger, that's the direction that we need to be pushing to invest in and enabling people who live there to build buildings and start businesses. So we get out of that cycle of intergenerational poverty and people can start to grow wealth in their own neighborhood.
Do you think that's a matter of perspective, or is it a matter of, we'll call it control? I don't know what else to call it. In other words, if I'm involved with the distribution of that money, and I'm involved with the people who have the biggest stake involved, they're the stakeholders, meaning the downtown development, the Cascades Park, that sort of thing. The argument that I hear launched is, well, see, if you help us grow economically as a community, everybody wins. So it's that rising tide idea or the trickle-down idea. Well, I kind of wonder whether that works in this particular situation.
Yeah, and I don't think so. The way the CRA is set up, there's only certain individuals who know about it who can get in there and get access to those resources and that money. And it's often the people who are living in the neighborhoods we're talking about, they're worrying about how they're going to eat that night. They don't have time to come down and talk to a city commissioner about the problems in their neighborhood or reach out and find out about these fundings. So we need to be proactive in going to these neighborhoods and the businesses that are already there and saying, this money exists, you can have access to it, you can build things here. And if they don't know about it and we don't communicate to them, it'll still be the large projects that keep coming.
And the other thing you have to worry about, especially with redevelopment, is there's a fine line between bringing investment into the community and gentrifying a community and pushing the residents of the community out. When you increase the prices of everything around them, you're not going to be able to afford your property anymore, and you're already in a food desert. So what are you going to do in Tallahassee for yourself if we're not directly helping you?
There needs to be an economic plan. And you know, I shamedly say that I worked at the legislature for a little while, and I learned something about recurring funds and non-recurring funds. We need a recurring fund. We need something, you know, that's there that we can draw from the interest, never touch the principal of the money, that constantly feeds the poor and the community. And if we can do that, we're going to win, and people are not going to be hungry, and the quality of food is going to go up.
Absolutely.
And so when people see the quality of that food, they're going to say, you know what, I want to eat. That sounds funny, but it's not. I want to eat because look at what I mean. I'm given a chance.
Yeah, if your food supply comes down to a convenience store, you may be limited in your choices, and you may be paying a lot more for the food than you would otherwise. To me, that doesn't seem like a real workable solution. And I'm also aware of the fact that, in general, there's this notion that, well, everybody is pretty much on their own, that we should work individually to do the very best we can, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps here, get out there and work hard, and you too can be a part of that American dream. But I'm also faced with the kinds of things you guys are talking about, in which large numbers of people, entire neighborhoods in our community, are stuck. They're just entrenched in a kind of endless cycle here. And I don't know that it's clearly appreciated if, in fact, we get so focused on the potholes in our lives, or our daily routine, we'll call it, that segment of our community ends up being invisible in plain sight, is the way it's referred to.
Absolutely. Drew had mentioned it. He said that you can see the hunger when you see the people on the streets who are hungry and begging and in need. But the biggest problem is the people you don't see, the people going to bed hungry at night, working jobs as children, as teenagers, just bring food to their younger siblings because their parent can't do it on their own.
Yeah. And Jeremy, you live this life, you and your siblings, trying to maintain some sense of normalcy. You were homeless for a period of time. And I remember your sister talking about this, you know, trying to take a shower in a restroom there at Lake Ella, kind of thing, and try to show up for school that morning and be able to fit in and not look homeless, not look out of the ordinary. That's not easy to do. And it's not easy to do just one time. It's not easy to do continuously over time. But that's what you guys did.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're living it, you know, that is your normal. So you don't know the experiences of other people. You know, you're just doing the best you can to get by and to get to the next step in your life. So it really becomes this, if you get stuck in that cycle and it's all you've ever known, then you don't even know that there's a better way. You don't know there's people who are out there eating well, they're working these jobs. It says,
so Alan,
like, that is your reality.
Alan's point is that we've got to do some education, not only among us who want to try to help, but among those who need the help. So part of that, what I'm hearing you say, is they have to realize this is not this is not the standard. This is not the normal that we want you to be able to enjoy with the rest of us. Well, how do we bring that forward? I mean, do we set up, I don't know, neighborhood meetings? Do we go out to those neighborhoods? Do we hand out leaflets? I mean, what's the solution?
We have to think about the actual message we're sending. So if you think about some neighborhoods that have never received public investment, you know, there's kids walking next to roads that have no sidewalks. There's dirt paths from where they've walked because all they know how is the walk. So what message are we sending them to say, you're poor, we're not going to put in a sidewalk in your neighborhood? It's just reinforcing what they already believe about themselves.
This is why we call it the Tallahassee Food Challenge. Because if you're feeling a bit challenged, I'm right there with you, my friend. I don't know any other way to take on a challenge than to begin the conversation, talking through the issues. I don't see that there's an immediate remedy to any of this, except for the fact that while we're trying to figure out the long term, we got hungry people right here in front of us. That we can do. And Second Harvest and all of these food charities that work very hard, very diligently to make that happen for these families, they're right there to receive what we can do to help them do their job. So the Tallahassee Food Challenge says, take the challenge, fill a bowl, feed the hungry. You can find that online at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
New deals and new specials are now available at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop. Each week, Jerry's will offer double Jerry's Bucks on select featured cigar brands. You'll get 10 Jerry's Bucks for every $50 you spend, plus standard Bucks and Lucker member discounts. It's first come, first served, so don't wait. Curbside pickup is available at both Jerry's Cigar Shop locations, plus free UPS shipping on orders over $29. You can find all the great deals and specials at jerryscigarshop.com. That's jerryscigarshop.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're listening to a special edition of Tallahassee Talks as we bring you conversations from 2018 talking about Tallahassee Food Challenge hosted by Gain Street Pies on Gain Street.
Anyway, if you haven't sampled the goodness that comes by way of Gain Street Pies, well, come on, man, you're just not living. Have you ever heard of San Marzano sauce? No, I bet you haven't. Well, you have now, because San Marzano sauce is like the world's greatest. And Jeremy actually like scoured the planet looking for the very best pizza sauce in the world. And he found it and then brings it back over here to us. And he slathers it all over his pizza. And then he just dumps all kinds of weird stuff on the pizza. But it's fantastic. I mean, they have pizza here that you would have never dreamed of creating on your own, but they've done it and it's made them famous. So we like to say that there is no secret sauce over here because in fact their sauce has made them famous, right? Isn't that right, Brett?
It is slap your mama good.
Spoken like a blues master, in fact. You've been hanging out at that barbecue place too often. You know what I'm saying, man?
That's right.
What's the matter with you? You got Chris Balling here. Drew Tillman's over there on his little toy guitar. He's gonna slather us with a little of his musical abilities. And Brett Wellman, our good buddy. Brett, I say this and you know, sort of making fun of you, but you're definitely one of the hardest working men in music that I know locally. You're just out there.
I love it.
And clearly.
Love it.
I have seen you in a lot of different settings. I've seen you with a lot of different audiences, venues. It's never different in terms of your passion, your love. You're loving it. You're just giving it. You give it 110%. I remember being over there at Four Points Hotel, feeling sorry for myself one late afternoon, you know, and just kind of drowning my sorrows at the Blue Halo. What's it called? Blue? Juicy Blue.
Juicy Blue, yeah.
The Juicy
yeah.
Blue, right. Thank you. And down at the end, you know, we're in the end of the bar, is this guy on his guitar, and he's just over there trying to bring a little goodness into the whole scene. And I'm there, and there was one other person down at the other end of the bar, you know, and I'm thinking, man, this is how it goes for me. You know, I'm just sitting here all by myself. And then I hear Brett. I didn't know Brett then, but I hear this guy singing, playing his guitar, and his songs or even more enjoyable than whatever it was I had in my glass. And I don't remember that very well. But I do remember thinking, now that's a guy. I wonder if he's local. Did they bring him in? And that was really when I first got to hear you firsthand. And I didn't even bother to introduce myself because, well, you know, it's me. And so I try to not do that most often.
You are a very shy individual.
I try to stay away from those moments. People have to approach me cautiously. You know,
right.
I told Carl, I'm like a bear. You know, I have handlers and they just kind of wave food in front of me. And
go in that direction.
Yeah, right. Get over here. So, Brett Wellman, you've been doing this since you were just like a little kid.
Yeah, since I was five.
Yeah, and started learning how.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think you're at Bradfordville Blues Club at least, what, two or three times a month over there.
Well, yes, hanging out in the audience, that would be correct.
Oh, okay.
But then we actually played there about 2 weeks ago, sold out. It was an amazing opportunity.
How cool is that? And then Dreamland is this great opportunity there. Dreamland Barbecue out there at the center of Tallahassee.
Yeah, every week, every Thursday.
And they have recognized the contribution that you've made because they're looking at the traffic coming to their side.
Sure.
Hanging out with the Brett man and chowing down on some pretty good old barbecues. So
what they've done is they've allowed it to be a musical jam. So kids of all ages, adults of all skill levels, any kind of a background has been, they're able to come out every week and play. So it's been fantastic. So the audience enjoys it because every night if it's a jam, you never know who's going to show up. So you never know what songs you're going to play or how the songs are going to be played. You could hear the same song every single week, but every time you hear it, it's different musicians playing it. So it changes it up every single time you hear it.
How cool. And Chris, you participate in that to some degree. Are you there as well on Thursday nights? Yeah. Yeah. A lot of diversity in that crowd of folks, too. A lot of different kinds of people come through. How long have the two of you been playing together? Now, Stone Cold Blues Band, as it's called, is really four of you. And you two are the more attractive portion of...
That's why we're on the radio.
Yeah, I get it, yeah. Yeah, well, you're in good company here. I mean... Oh, sorry, Alan, I wasn't trying... Not a very nice thing to say.
I've got a face for radio.
Yeah,
well,
me too. Here we are.
Actually, Chris is the only one at the table without a beard. Well, he's got a goatee. Okay.
Yeah, Chris is he's hairying up a little bit here. There we go. In a couple of sentences here, let's talk about the music scene in Tallahassee because that has, in and of itself, a kind of life of its own, and it's changed a lot over the last, even in the last three or four decades. We're seeing venues that are a little bit more friendly. We're seeing audiences that are a little bit more engaged and not running after the next cover song. They're really willing to listen to local artists doing what they're crafted in doing. And that's what the Songwriters Festival is really celebrating, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Chris is the wordsmith of our band, so not all of our originals, but a lot of our originals come from Chris. So,
yeah, Brett and I have been with Stone Cold Blues Band since the inception around October 5th of 2011. And we were born of a charity event, and the guys all played the event, and then we were packing out, and we looked around, and we're kind of like, that was fun. So what now? You know, let's do this again. And we've been playing ever since.
Which I wanted to bring up, that one of the charity events that we've played every single year since our inception is for Grace Mission Church, and it is a blues and barbecue event at the American Legion Hall to feed the homeless.
Huh.
So that's something that
there is an intersection.
Yeah, absolutely.
I find that to be the case, that the local music community, and I think, Jeremy, you're very well plugged into that through the business here, the Warhorse Whiskey Bar and Gain Street Pies, is it Cat Family Records, right, that you're connected with, Scott Bell and his company. Artists, musicians locally, they're big-hearted folks, and they're always looking for ways that they can apply their talents to help those who are trying to feed somebody or house somebody, is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we host a bunch of benefit shows throughout the year where musicians will just come to us and say, you know, we want to play music for this cause. Can we use your venue? And, you know, we always have an open door for that. So at the end of the day, I think everybody, it's an important issue to everybody. So.
Well, you know what? Thinking of that, I know you've got some other things you've got to do. We're going to say goodbye to Jeremy Matlow and thank him for his hospitality. He's running off to a campaign event. If you don't know, he's running for city commission seat three,
correct.
And so we want to let him get on because he's got about 2 million people out there that are going to be knocking on doors and encouraging everybody to vote for Jeremy. I guess your theme is One Tallahassee, isn't it?
One Tallahassee, yeah, because, you know, we're all in this together and we're just trying to do what's best for the city.
Jeremy Matlow, my friend, thank you for being with us. Folks, we've got a little bit of a housekeeping task to do here. We've got a spot break coming up with our very generous sponsors, and this portion of the show being brought to you by Witt and Glass, the first family in glass since 1945.
So there you have it, from 2018, conversations regarding the Tallahassee Food Challenge as we continue that work here in 2021. You stay with me. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Under the watchful care of King Cabba, our executive producer, who faithfully, dutifully carries out the production of this here fine radio show with magnitude and grace. And, you know, he's just easy to work with. Now, everybody that knows Carl says, my God, that man is just so easy to work with. Isn't that true, Carl? I mean, I think that's true. You know what? I know it's true because it's on your business card. King Cabba, and then the little tagline, easy to work with. I think that's a valid claim. In any case, we find his talents well applied here as we go about this business of carrying on conversations at large with people like Monique Ellsworth Van Pelt, kind of hyphenating the name there a bit because, you know, the girl went up and got herself married up. And wow, she is a gift not only to her friends and her new husband, Jamie, but a gift to this community. I mean, I'm not the first person to say that, and I'm certain that I won't be the last. But anybody who knows this woman and knows the magnitude of her vision and her endless, it seems, compassion and energy, I mean, you know, I have to tell you, it kind of reminds me of my conversations with Sue Semrau. That goes back a little ways now, but, you know, Sue is the head basketball coach for FSU women's basketball. Remarkable soul she is, like Monique, carrying out her duties with, you know, year in, year out sort of relentless determination to win, 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 win. And that's Monique Ellsworth. That's how she's put together. We first met 2 years, 3 years ago, and when she first took over there at Second Harvest as their CEO, so that was late 2019. So now I guess about a year and a few months. And nothing has diminished her. In fact, if anything, I on seeing her on this occasion, she seems even more resolved, more settled, more focused, and more determined. And that, in spite of what this last year has brought to her organization, to families across this region, the tragic stories that have come up from people losing their homes and their businesses, faced with challenges they've never had to reckon with. I mean, some of these folks that you were talking about here, hanging by a shoestring, we'd say, or hanging by a thread, I guess, is the colloquialism. But it then comes, you know, what was the final straw, I suppose, the blow. And it's one thing to be working poor, and we got a bunch of them in our community, people who are not just paycheck to paycheck. They're taking that paycheck and having to decide agonizingly, do I feed my family or do I pay the rent? Man. And when you and I think that isn't the case, well, the statistics betray that. The truth of the matter is that that is at least, I think Monique will tell us, it's about half of the population that we're talking about. Half of the people in this North Florida community. It's remarkable. We have, for our part, determined that the Tallahassee Food Challenge is what we can do. And it's not a food drive. There are lots of good food drives out there, and God bless them. And there should be more of them. But no, this is a information campaign. This is an advertising campaign, a public awareness effort to bring us closer to the truth, the facts of the matter. When we are putting advertising out there for the general public through all kinds of media outlets, whether we're broadcast or mass media sort of things, or digital streaming, all of the new media, the social media. Yeah, we're trying to put it in every little nook and cranny we can find. And if you want to help us, you can. Yeah, you're invited. This is all funded, by the way, through our own organization, the Alcom Corporation, which is the parent company for Spatterwork Media that produces this show, and Capstan Marketing, which provides PR and advertising media marketing services to its clientele, or for those folks, as well as our communications company, Behola Communications, and Mosa Design Group. Creative folks that they are, that build websites and do graphic video and photographic design. All of these companies cooperating with local businesses. And this year again, Gain Street Pies stepped up and said, yeah, we're gonna be there for you. So Gain Street Pies is the presenting sponsor again for Tallahassee Food Challenge this year, along with our very loyal and faithful Truck and Car Concepts, Joe Doty and his company. Joe was one of the very first to sign up now 11 years ago when we started this campaign. Been with us every year. Likewise, Wood in Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass, as they're known. Started in 1945, Jack Whidden, who served this community as a commissioner for, golly, I think 2 decades. Somewhere about that time. Wooden Glass, the real glass people, well, they're part of this whole effort to bring Tallahassee Food Challenge front and center. And you have Sellers Tile here in Tallahassee, Tommy Tharp, and all those folks that work so hard every day to bring you good quality products for your home, your business. Tallahassee is grateful for Sellers Tile out there on Capital Circle, just off, just north of Mahan Drive. Got to stop in and see them. Go in and thank Tommy Tharp for his contributions to this community and supporting the Tallahassee Food Challenge. It's a good thing to do. Make you feel good. And we're looking for more. If you are a business owner and would like to be a part of helping us get this message out further, I invite you to email us. You can email topics. TallahasseeTalks.com is the address. Or you can call the office. Call Alcom at 850-385-7762. Simple enough. In any case, if you would like to learn more about what Tallahassee Food Challenge is doing, I encourage you to go to the website. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com is there with a listing of all of the local food charities, those pantries that are providing food, when you can visit them on what day of the week and at what hours of the day. You'll also learn more about the magnitude of the challenge we face with a very simple admonition. Take the challenge, fill a bowl, and feed the hungry.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Simrow.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Second Harvest of the Big Bend, that's the mission. Feed the hungry. They do so through their network of partner agencies. We're going to get into that. And they educate and engage the community in this fight against hunger. Second Harvest Food Bank feeds the hungry in 11 counties of the Big Bend area. And through their network of over 135 partner agencies. So, formed in 1982, it is currently attended to rather proficiently and accurately and carefully by the current CEO, who is our guest this morning, Monique Ellsworth Van Pelt. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Good morning.
Again, good morning to you. Been a while since we've had the pleasure, but in spite of your life being as full as it is, and congratulations, I don't think it's too late to say happy marriage.
The nuptials.
The nuptials, the wedding that was a pandemic wedding. I'd love to spend the entire hour. Let's just talk about the wedding.
Thank you. I haven't had the chance to do that.
Let's do that. You know, because just the whole thought of trying to make that come about. I'm thinking of late. I'm thinking of the people involved with Word of South, right? And Chain of Parks Art Festival. And you take what is otherwise this remarkably complicated endeavor, right, to do a festival. Thousands of moving parts and people, and my goodness, the paperwork alone takes my breath away, right? And of course, then there's the always unpredictable weather in this community.
That is true.
So then comes Sarah Marchessault. Marchessault. I never get that right. It's Marchessault. Anyway, Marchessault, who is the festival director. And Sarah sat here and said, yeah, the pandemic has added this whole new dimension. Well, certainly with Second Harvest, and certainly when you're trying to plan a wedding, and here you are the CEO, I'm kind of taken with the fact that you seem so well adjusted and focused and, you know, at ease about stuff. Because I remember when we first met, you were like panting, thinking, oh my goodness, this is on my shoulders now. I got to jump in here. Well, what I've noticed is you're doing a good job.
Well, I appreciate that.
And yeah,
really amazing team. And I think this past year has been a great exercise in being flexible and forgiving and unflappable and developing a true resilience as an individual and as an organization, being resilient.
Resilience. What does that mean to you?
I guess the ability to bounce back or to maneuver and to duck and jump at the right moments to make sure that you're making progress in the direction you're hoping to.
And when you're dealing with a novel virus at a pandemic level, how do you know when to jump and when to duck?
So I, on a personal level, I started at Second Harvest in October of 2019. So I feel like I had, you know, 3 months before the world shut down.
They call that baptism by fire.
It was indeed that. But it really leveled the playing field in a lot of ways because no food bank had ever been through this. No CEO had ever tried to overcome and navigate these murky and questionable waters. No community had ever worked with food banking or tried to resolve such mounting food insecurity issues. So there was great opportunity to not have to achieve what was done before, but really create a new path forward and set standards and learn from and bounce back from all of the things that were unforeseen. And it's been a really beautiful process, really.
It really. What's the most beautiful part of that?
Our community. I feel like I've been blessed with the most profoundly beautiful seat to watch how incredible our community is, to watch the ways that we have become creative and collaborative and the ways that we try and address very complicated problems here locally and throughout the entire service area that we cover.
That rings a bell with me because I remember in our first conversation back in 2019, your assertion that feeding hungry kids, feeding hungry families, definitely the mission. It says so right there on your website. But beyond that, your personal interpretation of that mission included cooperation with other agencies, involving other strategies, I suppose, programs that aim at getting to the source of or the causal aspects of hunger in our community. It's a conversation that I've had over the years, you might imagine, with a lot of people who are in places of, some of them that you work with directly, but in places of concern and opportunity, whether it's Tim Center, right? Or Jeremy Matlow, commissioners, agency directors, medical facilities, other food charities. And they're all saying there isn't any one of us, any one organization that can overcome.
And nor should we try. I think that what our responsibility is making sure that we are the best in our lane and we don't leave our lane, but we leverage relationships that exist in other spaces so that we can better serve in a more holistic way the client that's usually shared among a number of nonprofit organizations. And I think my work history uniquely situated me to kind of take that mentality to the food bank because where I came from, CESC, a lot of the partner agencies that we had that were housed inside of the Kearney Center were all working towards addressing the needs of the individual who was experiencing homelessness. Yeah. And so taking that same mentality that hunger is does not exist in isolation. Hunger doesn't exist to someone who's relatively doing great everywhere else. Hunger exists for a family who is under-resourced and living in poverty. And if we can't recognize and begin to address all of the other systems that impact someone's inability to achieve receiving all of their necessities so that they can live a fulfilling and resourceful type life, then we've really missed the mark. So that was something that I felt really strongly about at Second Harvest, was how do we leverage the relationships we have and make sure that food is just a tool?
And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks as we look at the mission and the larger issues related to hunger for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. Stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking about Second Harvest of the Big Bend with our very good friend of this show and a friend of this community, Monique Ellsworth Van Pelt, who is the CEO for the aforementioned very well-respected and beloved Second Harvest of the Big Bend, who I think we've established, Monique, the fact that you have helped us better understand that broader, larger, interactive, cooperative mission. And as you were speaking about it here a moment ago, it occurred to me that we think of hunger as a disease. That is, an individual has this affliction, right? Or this malady, this disability. Whereas what you're pointing to is, no, it's not an individual condition. And if anybody is infected, it's the community that is us that's infected with something called poverty, food scarcity, a food desert. And these are not demographics. These are social, cultural conditions. And it's reflexive, right? So to the degree that I say, well, you have a problem, thereby I can say, I don't, right? So I'm better preparing myself to disavow any connection to this thing that you're struggling with. How oftentimes in the years that we have done our Tallahassee Food Challenge, that's now going on 12 years. When we started doing that 12 years ago, nobody was talking about the fact that Leon County was number one in the state then for food scarcity and food deserts. It just wasn't being discussed. And the reason we decided to take it upon ourselves was simply to, God help us, to raise awareness. And so oftentimes I'd meet with business owners who would say, that's impossible. And I'd talk about the average person in Tallahassee and the average household income. And they just didn't believe me. So like, I met Mary Deagle, who at the time was working with Second Harvest, and she said, yeah, we call that invisible in plain sight. When you go about your business now, things have changed a bit. There's a greater amount of awareness from all kinds of sources, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think Second Harvest has helped us better appreciate the truth and better grapple with this notion that it's us that we're talking about.
I think that something that's profound about our particular community in the service area is if you look at even the statistics about what happened during the pandemic. So prior to COVID-19, the state of Florida's food insecurity percentage was 13%. 13% of individuals across the entire state weren't sure where their next meal was coming from. That only increased by about 1% during the pandemic. But in our service area in the Big Bend, we were at 14% prior to COVID-19, so a little higher than the state average, and we are just shy of 30% now. So we more than doubled when the rest of the state only increased on average just up 1%, and it speaks to the fragility of our area and how rural we are. And when unforeseen, hazardous moments in time descend on our area, like Hurricane Michael or other storms or a bad tornado or a global pandemic, it's going to hit the Big Bend region differently than it is the rest of the state.
In your view, does that tie in directly? You said we're a rural community, and I've always thought that is underappreciated generally.
Oh yeah, for us, if we leave your office right now and we drive for 2.5 hours east or 2.5 hours west, that's about our service area. And if we start driving 2.5 hours east, we're not going to see much of anything. And if we go 2.5 hours west, we're not going to see much in that direction either. And it's in those very small pockets, those tiny neighborhoods deep inside of the forests around us. That's where our food insecure individuals are. That's where our neighbors are that are struggling. And that's who we have to try and get to.
So that is that 11-county footprint. At the same time, I've met a lot of people here locally talking about ALIS populations and those people who are, in short terms, the working poor.
Yeah.
You know, they're employed, they're asset limited, income constrained, but that means they don't have a whole lot of opportunity. They just don't have a lot of flexibility.
In Leon County, that's 49%. So like when we leave here and we drive home today, almost half of every door that we drive past, there's a family on the other side of that front door that's making really difficult decisions every month. And the issue with food insecurity is that when a family is seeing they're experiencing a shortened budget, like less and less to work with, food is usually the first thing to go. You can choose to eat less. I will skip these meals. I will skip meals so that my child can eat. Maybe my child can just get their food from school. So that food portion of a family's budget is largely going to be the go-to item that they're going to start spending less on so that they can afford the other necessities for that home.
Medications.
Right. Or your rent, your utilities. Are you going to let your lights turn off? Or are you going to eat? And so those are those really tough choices that families are having to decide between. And what Second Harvest wants to do is make sure that with our network of partner agencies, we can eliminate that question. For this moment in time, we can make sure that you and your family have the food that you need so that you can focus your attentions on negotiating other expenses in your household.
Hmm. Tough decisions. What are those tough decisions that you have to make in relation to this organization? Knowing you as well as I do, not as well as I'd like to, admittedly, but then, you know, I'm not the only kid in line here wanting to have a word with you. You know, and Tom Flanagan, I mean, he gets angry with me if I monopolized you. You know, he wants his share. It's okay, Tom. I love you. So then I look inside of your world a little bit and say, here she is. And we'll put aside for the fact that she's a newlywed, still a newlywed. I think that's a fair statement. And yes, pandemic challenge like the rest of us. But on your best day, what's the hardest part of your job?
You know, during the pandemic, 10% of all of our partner agencies closed. So a lot of the ways that we were able to get food out to the community were no longer an option. So what we are faced with now is trying to learn from our partner agencies on who can reopen and to what degree, and how can we be strategic in the ways that we begin reopening and reinvesting in a lot of our outlying counties where there's not a lot of resources? How do we make sure that, you know, if all we're going to have is, let's, for example, we're going to have five partner agencies in Calhoun, where in Calhoun? How do we make sure that entire county is covered and that every family that might be in need has a resource close by or close enough? Mm-hmm. What do those words even mean? How do we make sure that those counties are served? I think that where we are right now and what we're looking at is how do we have a deeper and more impactful and actionable presence in our outlying counties to make sure that we are peppering the county with service and making sure that no one's left out.
Right. Is there in your mind yet a lack of awareness? I mean, are we still struggling with general public awareness of the magnitude, you think?
You know, I think that, so to just be philosophical for a moment, my opinion is that proximity is wildly important when you're talking about social issues. If people haven't seen it, if they haven't been close to it, if they can't touch it, feel it, smell it, like they don't get it. But I think that something that a gift that that such a tragic moment in our history, a pandemic, a gift that it's left our entire nation with is an opportunity that so many nonprofits or social justice groups and food banks, thankfully for us, we were inside of every household. We were on your phone. We were in your living room. We were on your radio. And I think that for the first time, proximity between hunger and food insecurity and the layperson shrunk considerably. Mm. And people have a much better grasp of how many people in their community live on the fringe, right there in the margins, paycheck to paycheck. And I think it came, there was a stark reality that this past year brought to us.
Talking with Monique Ellsworth Van Pelt, she is the CEO for Second Harvest of the Big Bend. And you're in touch with Tallahassee Talks. We'll be right back.
New deals and new specials are now available at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop. Each week, Jerry's will offer double Jerry's Bucks on select featured cigar brands. You'll get 10 Jerry's Bucks for every $50 you spend, plus standard Bucks and Lucker member discounts. It's first come, first served, so don't wait. Curbside pickup is available at both Jerry's Cigar Shop locations, plus free UPS shipping on orders over $29. You can find all the great deals and specials at jerryscigarshop.com. That's jerryscigarshop.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You know, and I think we have a lot of pride, too. With pride comes great shame when you're faced with a moment where you can't provide for your family. And for us, I think that nationwide, what we learned and what we saw here locally is that about 40% of everybody that was going to the distributions last summer had never needed charitable food in their life. These were people that were employed, were able to meet their financial obligations at home, were able to provide for their families, and were proud of the work they did. And they did nothing wrong. And for the first time in their life, they found themselves in a really difficult and impossible position where they needed to navigate the social service landscape of our community, which is really difficult to try and understand where to go for what during a pandemic when places are closed. We've had to assist a group that's newly challenged that feels a lot of pride and with that a lot of shame. And so how do we eliminate shame? How do we tell someone that this is not a mark against your character? Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with, you know, a series of horrible decisions you've made and now you're just this like crummy individual because you need help from a food bank. That's not the case. How can we remove that shame and make sure that we really serve the family?
Does that mean that you end up having to sort of repackage how you deliver the goods? So this isn't a charitable gift as such, Brian. This is just, you said 49% of the households. So that means if I go to work tomorrow and I look around the room,
half
of those people that you're working with are struggling. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to come up and tell you. And the business owner isn't necessarily going to know, although the business owner might be one of those people.
Right.
Talk about that.
Well, I think that I remember there was a couple email chains that I was a part of really early on with other nonprofit leaders in the community. and all of us trying to figure out, like, what do we do for our staff? Because also, like, Second Harvest, we have, at that time, we had like 26, 27 staff members, all wholly human, experiencing the pandemic on their own, in their own way, with children's coming home for the remainder of the school year, spouses or partners losing their jobs or getting sick. We had staff members whose family members have died of the virus, and we couldn't miss a beat. We had to just keep going out. We had to stay in the trucks. We had to go to our partner agencies. We had to conduct the biggest distributions we've ever done in the history of Second Harvest. And so those were challenges to how do you lead a team who were all scared and no one knew what was going on and no one understood how the virus was working or what its impact would be. I remember hearing a staff member once, they said, you know, I believe in what we're doing, and if I die trying to do this work, if I get this virus and I die, I'm at peace with that because this work's important. And like, those were just these really raw moments in our conference room talking through what does it mean to stay open. Like someone saying, like, I could die. And I'm okay with that. I mean, that's the Second Harvest team. I mean, we've just got some really tremendous
people.
That
is remarkable. And I think that goes back to what you said earlier about who we are as a community. It is not often said, certainly not said enough, about us as a people. Too often, I think we focus, myself included, on what's wrong. If there's anything right, and there are a lot of good things about Tallahassee, you're pointing at who we are.
But we did a telethon to try and raise funds. Again, we had never done anything like this before, but we had people, volunteers, come in. They manned the phones. We worked with a media company in town, a news company, and we raised money, and people called in. And the number of sacrificial gifts that we got in, people saying, you know, I'm someone that you help, but I have an extra $5 and that's all I can spare, but I'm sending it to you. And we would get letters that said the same thing in the mail with a $5 bill or just two $1 bills saying, it's all I have, but I know that this can go to somebody who has even less than this.
You know, you talk about our history, agrarian economy, prideful, self-reliant, right? Also a faith community. A community that is rooted in this notion that we don't just serve ourselves. We don't even serve each other. We serve a higher power. We're plugged into this idea that God is looking over us and empowering us and encouraging us to love each other in very practical ways. I heard one teacher say recently, remember that kindness is love in action. That when you say I love you, brother, well, great, that's nice. But when you're kind, you've taken what you believe, what is that sentiment, what is that purpose, you've put it in action, and it's very practical. It's aimed at an immediate effort to deal with a specific issue in my life, like a bag of toys on the side of a car, or groceries showing up that you can't account for. When you talk with people like that in general, whether it's people in various settings, have you noticed any kind of shifting? Are people more, let's say, engaged, more sympathetic, listening more closely now than they were when you started? Because that's really the pandemic year. So we have this sort of measure in place.
You know, I think that Second Harvest has always had their friends, the people who believe in the work that Second Harvest does, who is behind the mission to end hunger, understood root causes. But I really think that we've discovered and engaged this next concentric circle of people who weren't plugged in with us, didn't understand. This wasn't a top three missions that they were going to give to, three missions that they were willing to spend their time and service to resolving. And so I believe that this, over the past year, we have found new friends. We have engaged different people. And I also think that something that, you know, just number examples, is that the number of volunteers, we have had over 1,000 new belly buttons in our building. Like, new people that have never volunteered with us before. Wow. In our building serving with us. That's shoulder cool. to shoulder. And those are, and it's routine. These are volunteers that come in multiple times a week to serve with
That's
us.
Awesome.
And it's not uncommon for us to get a volunteer that'll pull one of our staff members or myself aside and say, you know, early on, I was someone in the car. I had to get food and you guys were there for my family. And I just can't think of anything else that I can do other than stand here and help you sort food and box it up for families just like mine. Like our clients, the end user, the recipient of our food is also packing into the warehouse.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. You know what's not beautiful? We've run out of time. And man, that breaks my heart because I want to hear more from you. Will you come back?
We'll do this again. Yeah,
can,
of course.
Can you? Will you?
Absolutely.
Tell him that I said I really, really, really want you to come back. And
I'll tell Tom Flanagan.
That maybe Tom will let you have a little bit more time with me. God bless him. Oh, folks, this is why we do what we do. And this is exactly the kind of conversation that this person, Monique, brings to our attention with such clarity. Clearly, I believe there is a God in heaven. I believe God puts you in the right place at the right time.
I agree.
And I believe there's a gift he has given us. And so we'll just end on a high note right there. Folks, thank you for being with us today. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, Tallahassee's radio to the world. All local musicians playing their original songs all the time. That is Moose Magnificat, the sound of Tallahassee. You'll find them at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer, and I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.